Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
Verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. So again, I asked the question earlier, what is the gospel? And you said part of it, right? Was that you, Carlos? Yeah, part of it. But this is the simplified version. If you take notes, this is what you need to know. You want to go to heaven? You want to have true abundant life in Jesus' name? And this does not mean you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean you're going to be famous. It doesn't mean life's going to be good and easy. Matter of fact, it's probably going to be the opposite. And I was talking to my team before when we were out in Texas, and I was just telling them, it's like we think that everything's going to be easy and good, but if you look at the Bible and you look at people who are actually sold out following Jesus, most of the time, it gets worse. 10 of the 12 original disciples were martyred. Judas killed himself, and John is said to have died of natural causes, but he was tortured it's not to be mistaken, not like he got an easy ride. But here it is. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. You need both. I'm sad to say, even there's times in my ministry where maybe I've even in the past told you guys that you just need to believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. And I could support it from Scripture. But we oftentimes we leave out the repentance, and I'm sorry, but tonight I guess hopefully I can make up for it in some of those times. But you need to repent and believe, and it's not that I never believed that before, it's just what happened. But we need to repent and believe. Repentance without belief. Think of it for a moment. I think of a friend that I used to work with. She was the bartender at the restaurant I worked at, and she was a heroin addict. She was an atheist, probably more. Both of those are important to the story. She was a heroin addict, didn't believe in God. Most substance abuse programs, rehabs were very religious, God, higher powered, centered. And she didn't like that. She didn't want anything to do with that. And she tried some of it, didn't work. But then she found something that worked for her. I don't know what it was. But then she was clean. And to my knowledge, she's still clean to this day. And that was, I don't know, 10 years ago. You know, so what we see though, what I see there is repentance. She turned from her ways. She realized what she was doing was wrong. She realized that she needed help, but what she did not do is believe. So just because you turn from your evil ways and you got some good morality in your life, that is not going to save you in and of itself. Okay? Just because you stopped drinking last week doesn't mean you're going to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus and call upon His name, you will not get in. So repentance without belief, it's admirable. I'll say that. I admired her. I was blown away. I'm like, I don't know how you did it. How did you turn from sin without the power of the Holy Spirit? I don't know, but she did it in some type of way, but she didn't believe in God or Jesus or anything spiritual at all. It's admirable, but really at the end of the day, it's nothing. Some good works. What we know about good works and what Jesus says is like, there's filthy rags. It doesn't matter how much you do. The opposite, though, we think, well, belief without repentance, well, that's hypocritical. You know what Jesus says about the hypocrites, right? It's like the hypocrites, man, the Pharisees, the leaders, spiritual leaders or religious leaders, they stand on the street corners and they pray out loud and they quote scriptures and they do all of these things and they give to the people so everybody can see. And Jesus is like, you hypocrites. You whitewash tombs. You're nice and pretty on the outside, but really you're just full of dead man's bones. So you got like some belief, but you believe Jesus is real. You acknowledge that He is who He says He is. But without repentance and turning to Him, it's like you miss it. It's coming close, right? I think that's like better to have belief maybe than belief without repentance and repentance without belief, but they're both terrible in my mind. But it's like knowing the right answer for the test, but then you don't even fill in the blank. You know, it's like you knew, you're so close. All you had to do was just repent. So they go together. They have to. That's the gospel. Repent from your sins. Believe in Jesus. You just say that with me so I know that you're getting it. Repent from your sins. Believe in Jesus. Let's try it again. Repent from your sins. Okay, we're going to have to start all over, all right? Repent from your sins. Believe in Jesus. That's what brings eternal life. That's what brings salvation. That's what brings that oneness that God wants to bring everything back together. He wants to redeem mankind. That's how it's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 40, now verse 9. He says, "Go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward," I love this, "his reward is with him." And maybe that means something else if we broke it down in its original language, but when I'm just reading that, like the reward for following God and repenting of your sins and believing in him, the reward is that you get to be with him. No more sin, no more sorrow, just perfect holiness, man. He says, "and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." And this, and we're going to blast through the rest of chapter 40. Is that okay? Just because this is good. And then we'll get back to Mark. He says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel?" Saying, who instructs the Lord? He said, "Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust." This is the Lord. This is God Almighty. Just picture it with me, would you? "Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations," check this out, "are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him," look at this, "as less than nothing." How do you get less than nothing? He says that's what all this is to the Lord. "To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He is too impoverished for an offering, chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's some good stuff right there. And if you didn't catch it, go back, read it later, man. It's just too good. It's too good. That's God. He's like, who told me how to make the earth? Were you there? There's this conversation with Job in one, I forget which chapter, maybe 47? No? I don't know if there's even a 47. But there's a conversation with Job, like, Job, were you there when I made the earth? And the obvious answer is, well, no, Lord, I wasn't. You know? He's like, who are you to try and tell me what to do? And I mean, the obvious answer is, I'm dust. I'm nothing, really. But the thing about it is, he's like, the Lord is the everlasting God. He wants to renew your strength because he cares about you. He wants to save you from yourself. He wants to save you from your sin. And he just loves you so much. It's just amazing. It's amazing. Go back to Mark. What verse are we on now? 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That's what they did. They were working. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately, and I underline that because I love it, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending nets. So they're fishermen too. They're working. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And so what we see is Jesus calling his first disciples to him. But what I just want to ask you is, like, when Jesus calls, are you answering? Are you quick to, if they're writing your account with it, say, and Nick immediately left his things in the past and followed him. Nick immediately abandoned his sin to go follow Jesus. Nick immediately abandoned bad things. Would that be said of you? Could that be said of you today? It's an urgent thing. And I would say just don't wait. Again, Jesus says he could come back at any moment like a thief in the night if I didn't say that already. And are we ready? Are we ready to meet him? Or are you kind of holding back? One day when I get good enough, when I get my sins in order and, you know, and I clean myself up, yeah, then I'll come to Jesus. But right now, I can't do it. I got to tell you that was me for a long time. And if you have that mindset and you have that attitude and that's really what you believe, I'm going to tell you this lovingly, you will be there as long as you continue to believe that. If you think that you can clean yourself up enough to come to Jesus one day, and one day the stars are going to align and everything's going to be good, and I'm going to be feeling it and I'm going to give my life to Jesus that day will probably never come. You just got to come to Jesus as you are, and you got to say, I'm a mess, Lord. I'm a mess. I've made many mistakes. I don't deserve your forgiveness. And that's really like the point of it. That's how great he is. We know. When you're like, I don't deserve it, Lord. He's like, I know. But I love you. That's grace. I know. And I'm not going to send you to hell because you're coming to me and I want to clean you up. Jesus will start to clean you up. See, remember he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to convict the world of sin. He's going to, of righteousness and judgment, right? And he's going to start to do a work within you, and you're going to start to produce fruit. And again, that's what I love looking at Ignition online. I see fruit being grown here. From when I left, I'm like, had I stayed, would that fruit be going on today? I don't know. That's what confirms to me. It's like, man, Jesus called us to go plant a church. We're like, all right, Lord, we're coming. We sold our house. We moved in with my in-laws for a season. And we went out to Texas where I've never lived anywhere besides Tucson before. And we just left it all. And we're like, all right, Lord, let's do it. And then the Lord brought Sean in, and he's taken over this, and it's a good thing. But again, when Jesus calls, you got to just come. When you hear that knocking on the heart, on your door of your heart, you got to let him in. One pastor said, Jesus is a gentleman. He knocks at the door of your heart. He doesn't come kick it down and burst in and say, you're going to serve me. I mean, that day will come. Well, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But right now, he's given us a chance. He's, come on, let me in. I could do something. I can clean this thing up if you'd let me. Don't wait. He's worth it. And let's fly through some of this other scripture. Verse 21, he says, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished. And this is also some of, I don't know if it's Isaiah 40 or 43, but it talks about how the Lord is going to come in and he's going to immediately go to the temple. And so it's like, and so Jesus comes on the scene, he calls some disciples to him, and it says, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And right there what we see, so far we've seen mankind, right? We got Mark, Peter, and John the Baptist verifying that Jesus is who he says he is. We got the Father and the Spirit verifying who Jesus is. And now we got demons verifying who Jesus is, folks. The enemy is saying, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the Lord's anointed one who's going to come save the earth. You know? Have you come to destroy us? But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So right there we have his fame is spreading, and we have many more witnesses that will come, and we'll see in the next chunk here. It says, and immediately, verse was at 29, he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill, and that's an interesting verse right there because the people are like, the disciples weren't married. Well, apparently Peter was at one point at least. So Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them, and so he's starting to heal. It says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. But what we see here again is, this is Jesus being verified. He's fulfilling Scripture. Scripture is verifying that Jesus is who he says he is. Talks about the healing, the one who's going to come and heal the land, heal the people. That is Jesus. I wanted to put all this Scripture in there, but I didn't want to like put you guys to sleep completely tonight. But I think, Isaiah 43, jot it down, go read it. I don't know if it's that one, but it might be. It's a great chapter to read. But here's the last chunk that I want to hit, verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed, this is Jesus, and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. A few things I want to note about this this part is it says, first off, we see this idea of rest. Sean taught on it throughout the Genesis, but rest is God's idea. And we see this Jesus getting away to rest. He gets away to be with the Father. And so as he's getting away to be with the Father, it's like, I believe that's where you're recharged. That's where you find life. Like I started out, I said, we need Jesus, and we need to know him. But we won't know him if we don't spend time with him. It's like a friendship. You're not going to develop a friendship and find a best friend if you don't spend time with them. You got to invest something in it. And so my encouragement to you guys would be to spend time with God, rest with God. Jesus is here. It's very early in the morning while it's still dark. He departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And I would say it doesn't mean you got to get up before the crack of dawn, but if you want to, then go ahead and do that. In my life, honestly, it looks like me staying up late at night to spend time with God. But you got to find that. You got to work that into your schedule somewhere. You make time for what matters. And so we see Jesus doing this and gets away with the Father. And then the next thing, what I love, and we already read it, but 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They found him and they said to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." I just think that's interesting. It's funny because Jesus is the Son of God. He knows everything, right? He is the I Am. He says, "Everyone is looking for you." So when you start to know who Jesus is, that's a funny statement, because if you're trying to tell him and inform him about something, it's like there is nothing that you can inform him of that he doesn't already know. And one of the principles that I've seen in this text and I've kind of applied to my life is that there is no shortage of ministry. It's one thing that I'm learning even as we start to church plant. I'm very, I said earlier, externally focused. Like, hey, ministry on the outside. What do we need to do? What does it mean to do this? What's the impact that this should have? Lord, what do you want out here? Ministry. But I think we miss oftentimes the point that God wants to minister to us more importantly. Ministry is sweet, but letting Jesus minister to you is better. And that's where you'll find rest. That's where you'll find, like in Isaiah chapter 40, it's like we'll find strength that we didn't have before. And so last couple verses, we read them, but he says, and he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And so just real simple, he came out to preach the gospel. Jesus came to tell people the truth, to tell them that they can be set free, that you could have eternal life, that what's wrong can be made right if you would repent and believe in me. Came out to preach the gospel. He says, and he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Some of the last things that I want to leave you guys with scripture-wise, if you want to flip over Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, actually chapter 2, verse 17. He says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. But you say, how have we wearied him?" It says, "By saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice?" And I just love this right here, because that's what's happening today. That's what's happening today. Like, you're wearying the Lord by telling everyone that whoever's doing evil is really doing good. The Lord's pleased with you. Don't we see that happening? Like the things that I listed earlier, one of them that I forgot to mention, being in Austin. So they voted to defund the police. And I'm not here to debate whether that's right or wrong. I'm in the boat of like, hey, everybody should make a budget and you should probably review it once in a while. And sometimes you got to make cuts and sometimes you need to make some improvements. So I'm like, that's not necessarily a bad idea, right? But here's the thing. They defunded the police, one-third of their budget, which is $150 million. Just try to wrap your mind around how much money that is. And what they did is, like, they're starting to, instead of putting it towards the police department, they're putting it towards things like community stuff, which you're like, oh, that's not bad. And yeah, sure, that's not bad. All right, it's like parks and rec type stuff. You're like, again, that's not bad. But they're also giving that to support abortion clinics. They're taking, so, and that's the stuff that's being praised today. And that is wrong. Killing an innocent baby. I mean, I almost want to say, like, what could be more wrong than that? Someone that can't defend themselves, and you're going to take their life, and I'm not here to get on this, but that's just how passionate I get about it. But that's what we're seeing today. Everyone who's doing evil, they're saying, oh, good job. Man, we're just so pleased with you. But then we also see at the same time where people are like, where is the God of justice? Isn't that like the voice of the media now? Justice needs to be served, and we won't stop rioting, and we won't stop doing all this stuff and destroying property until we get justice. Look at it, guys. It's in the Bible. How amazing is that? Like, to me, that just encourages me. Like, Jesus told us that it's going to get bad, and if we just read Scripture, when it gets bad, we're like, oh, yeah, I already knew that that was coming. I didn't think it was going to be today. I was hoping it would be like when I was 80 or 90 years old, and if you're tuning in on Instagram, it's probably like been 2 hours, and this is the third installment. Just kidding. But check it out, guys. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Malachi. So he says that, where's the God of justice? You're wearying the Lord, right? But he says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Who's the messenger? Who's going to prepare the way before him? John the Baptist. He says, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. This is the verse I was talking about earlier. Will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he, Jesus, is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and in the former years. And so I bring that up to tell you guys is like that Jesus, this is all the prophecy, like, hey, someone's going to make the path clear. The Lord is coming. Those things have happened. Jesus has come. And now he's saying, follow me. And if you're following him, what he's saying is, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them the things that I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And behold, I'm with you till the end of the age. That's what Jesus wants you to do. Looks different in different people's lives, right? Some people are called to be teachers, baristas, pastors, whatever. But are you a light for Christ? Are you shining for him? And then this is probably the rude awakening, again, that we don't like. It's like, it's hard being a Christian. He says he's like a refiner's fire. It's so interesting, and I wish we could almost do a demonstration of it. Like if we had a piece of gold and we set it on fire, hottest torch we could find, everything. Set it on fire. What happens to gold when you do that? Huh? It melts, but what happens to it? Like, you try to burn it and you try to destroy it and it only gets purer. And that's the idea Jesus is saying. He's like, he's coming and he's going to purify his people. Revelation says that the bride is going to make herself ready for that day, the wedding feast. And so I believe what Jesus is doing, he's calling people that are willing to kind of more or less sit in the fire. Proclaim his name. He's been verified by many different accounts of people, right? Mark's just one of them. And read through the rest of Mark and you just get more and more evidence that, man, he is who he says he is. It's amazing. He's calling us to be purified. Will you let the Lord do a purifying, refining work in your life today? Repent and believe in Jesus because he is who he said he is and he has been verified.
Hey everyone, Pastor Sean here with Ignition Tucson. We really hope that you guys were blessed by these last two podcast episodes entitled Jesus Verified. These were taught by a really good friend of ours and former pastor of Ignition, Nick Weiss, who has since moved to Austin, Texas with his family to do a church plant. So if you were blessed by his teachings, we encourage you to follow Nick. Go to fervent.church to stay connected with all that God is doing in him and through him out in Austin. We hope that you can join us next week for another episode as we look at Genesis chapter 4. God bless you.